I want to turn to Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans, and the chapter 10 that we read together. The text tonight can be found in the verse 9 of this well-known passage of God's Word. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What we have here is mouth and heart salvation. If thou shalt believe with thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's look to the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless us. We pray, Lord, thou wilt come close to all of our hearts. We thank you for the singing about Christ. Lord, there's no better person to sing about than about your Son, the Lord Jesus. He is a great Savior. And we pray that thou wilt bless the Word of God to all our hearts in this place. Remember those, Lord, who are still unconverted and strangers to grace and to God. We pray that thou wilt save them by thy grace tonight. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. Mouth and heart salvation. The great English preacher C.H. Spurgeon said one time, I have never despaired of the salvation of any man since the Lord saved me. I know no heart that God cannot win if he could conquer mine. And these words are very simple that were spoken by the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon. He says, if God can save me, he can save any man. Here's a man confessing his own wickedness, his own hardness of his own heart without Christ. There was a time in his life he was sinful, he was wicked, and his heart was closed to Christ. But you know, God saved him. And he was saved by grace alone. The Apostle Paul, I believe, was of the same kindred spirit. Because he said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the Apostle Paul was saying the same thing as C.H. Spurgeon, the Lord has saved me. And he says in this particular passage, I am the chief of sinners. He said, I am the greatest of sinners. He said, I am the worst sinner that ever walked on the face of this earth. But he said, God saved me. And you know, the Lord can save the worst. He can save anybody. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, God can save you. Perhaps you feel I'm the worst. Maybe you feel you're the worst sinner in this town, in Elfkakeel. Maybe tonight you feel you're the worst sinner in this congregation. But here is the good news of the gospel. Christ can save the worst. He can save the worst sinner. With confidence, C.H. Spurgeon preached, and he preached to thousands of people, and the Apostle Paul preached the Word of God with great power. The sinners might be saved. When we look at the Word of God, we see the Apostle Paul was a man who had a great burden for the souls of men. You can see that in the very first verse that we read together in Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Here's a burdened man. Here's a man's got a passion, a love for souls. He looks upon his own countrymen. And dear friends, he wanted something for every one of those people. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to find Christ. He wanted them to find mercy. And he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Indeed, you read Romans 9, verse 1 to 3. Basically, verse 2, he said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow were in my heart. Verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. And here's a man and he says, I have this great heaviness. I have this continual sorrow in my heart. I have this burden. I am burdened for my people. I long that they might be saved. I wonder tonight if you're burdened. Wonder if you're concerned for those who've lost. Friends and family members far away from Christ tonight. Have you a burden for the lost? Are you like the Apostle Paul? Are you have this continual sorrow in your heart and great heaviness? He was burdened for the souls of men. But God gave us all the burden for the souls of men. You see, Paul's business in soul winning. First of all, he prayed to God for their salvation. First, 1 in chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And Paul's really taken us into the closet, and he's shown us here something about his prayer life, and he's saying, my prayer to God is very simple. And I'm down before God, and I'm upon my knees. And I'm praying to God for one thing, for this people. I'm praying that they might be saved. And Paul prayed for people, and he prayed, and he prayed that people might be saved. And I ask you, friends, do you pray? Do you come to a prayer meeting? Do you come to pray for people? Do you come to seek God? We bring people before the throne of grace. Say, Lord, we want you to save them. We want you to touch them, Lord. We want you to call them unto yourself. Not only did he pray, but he preached. He preached to men everywhere the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he says in Romans 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this message. In verse 15, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready to go to Rome. I'm ready to go into that city. I'm ready to go. Why did he want to go to Rome? He wanted to go to preach. You see, he had a burden for souls. He prayed for them, friends, and he preached. He told them of Christ, how Christ could save and give everlasting life. And Paul's great blessing in winning of souls. Read the book of Acts. See how God used this man whose heart was opposed to the gospel at one time. How he hated Christ. And yet God saved them, and God sent them out and to preach with great power. And he saw nations turned upside down. He saw many people saved. And I want to say to you tonight, there's nothing to bring more joy to my heart than to the hearts of God's people. If you could see it tonight. And people's praying for you on saved in this meeting. Maybe you feel God, people has forgotten about you. People's praying. People's pleading with you to return to Christ and give your life to Him. And there's no joy like seeing people saved. And Paul had that blessing. He saw many come. Many trust Christ. He was a great soul winner. He sought to win the lost. So we're not surprised when we come to this great epistle. Of course, it's all about God's salvation and how to obtain it. The words of this passage that we've read together reveals to us some very special words about God's salvation. Really here in the verse 9, if you want to look together tonight, Paul again is preaching. Paul again is bringing the glorious message, the simple message. I want to say tonight, the only hope for this people was this message. The message of the gospel and the message of salvation. The only hope for you, the only hope for anybody in this meeting is the message of the gospel. That Jesus saves. And there are three things from our text I want you to notice tonight. First of all, the title of salvation is found in verse 9. You see, the very last word of verse 9 in Romans 10, the word saved. This was a title that God put on salvation. This is the title Apostle Paul put upon it. He talks out here about being saved. Now, salvation and saved is the same thing. You go to the end of verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's the same thing, the same principle, the same thing. Talking about salvation in verse 10, talking about being saved in verse 9. Dear friends, he is speaking about the same thing. The title of salvation here is one word, it's saved. Did you notice the hymns tonight? The three hymns was about being saved. That's why I didn't change one of them. Saved by grace alone. To the uttermost, he saves. Then we say, I believe Jesus saves. Because, dear friends, we're talking here about something that is found in the Word of God. Here is the title of salvation. It is one word. It is saved. It's a small word. A word I'm sure most boys and girls could spell in the meeting. Think of the mention of this title. You will find in this passage that the Apostle Paul mentioned this term saved three times. In verse 1, that they might be saved. In verse 9, thou shalt be saved. In verse 13, shall be saved. In fact, 8 times in this whole epistle of Romans, he mentions this word saved. So it is mentioned many times. But let me say this, he wasn't the only one who preached this. Some could say, well, that's just old Paul. This was his theory. This was his notion. This was his message. He was the one who preached about being saved. And he was the only one. But that's where you'd be wrong. Friends, time would fail me tonight to take you through the Bible and to bring this title out time and time and time again about being saved. Moses, coming to the end of his life in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29, he says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. Moses, away years ago, he was speaking here. He was bringing his message to the people. There's no one like Israel. Why was this? Because they're saved by the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, it's an old message about being saved. Moses was speaking about it. David said in Psalm 34 verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. And saved him out of all his troubles. And prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 45 verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and beside me there is none else. And I can go through this book tonight, and preacher after preacher, and prophet after prophet. Even the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 3 verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved, saved, saved. It keeps coming up throughout the Bible because it is the title of salvation. About being saved. And friends, it is mentioned many, many times. Again in our text here tonight, Paul is saying there's such a thing as being saved. And I don't know about you, I meet people who say to me, I don't believe about being saved. I don't believe that. But I want to say to you tonight, here is God's title for salvation. The Apostle Paul preached it. Jeremiah preached it. Isaiah preached it. Moses preached it. Christ preached it about being saved. Oh, the mention of the title throughout the whole Bible, it talks about being saved. So whether you say I believe in it or not, friends, the Bible says it's true. The meaning of the title. The word save means to save or to deliver or to protect or make whole. What do the scriptures mean when they speak about being saved? Well, it's good to go to the first mention of the word save in the New Testament. And I want to tell you, you do not have to go very far into the Gospel of Matthew until you find the first mention of this word save in the Bible. In fact, you'll find it in the verse 21 of chapter 1, and it tells us about Christ, of a prophecy of Christ, how Christ would come into the world. It says that she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus. And here's the first mention of the word save in the New Testament. For he shall save his people from their sins. There it is. He shall save his people from their sins. And clearly here we see the message here on the meaning of this title. What does it mean? It means he's going to save people from sin. Here is the meaning of this message. And when the Apostle Paul preached about being saved, and when Moses talked about being saved, and when Christ talked about being saved, it meant this, friends, to save people from sin. And I want to say the biggest curse in this world today is sin. The biggest curse in your life tonight, unconverted person, is sin. And people need to be saved from their sins. from the very power of their sins. The Bible tells us that sin has dominion and power over the sinner. No, they read the Word of God. It's very, very plain and simple to us because it tells us sin is like a slave master to the unsaved. It holds them firmly in their grasp. They cannot get away. They cannot break the power of their sin. Think of John 8, verse 34, the words of Christ. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And the word servant actually means slave, as you would know. Sin makes men and women a slave to their passions and to their lusts. They're held in the bondage of sin. They're held by the chains of Satan. They're held, they cannot break free. Oh, they may promise, "I will change my life. I will try to be a new man. I will try to be a new woman. I will change this habit. I will change that habit." And they change it for a while. But friends, they end up as a slave. You see, you need to be saved from the very power of sin. In Proverbs 5, verse 22, speaking about the unsaved person, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." There's the picture. Away at the prophet, in the book of Proverbs, he's talking about one, he's held. And it's like there's a cord wrapped around him and around him and around him. And he's trying to break free, and he's trying to get away from his lust, and he's trying to get away from his sin, but he's holding. He's held firm. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight, and you've been trying to get away, but you can't get away. Maybe you have promised to come away from sin, but friends, you can't get away. You see, you need to be saved from the power of sin. Listen tonight, Jesus saves. He can set you free. Many others have tried to set you free. None can set a sinner free. I want to say tonight, none but Christ. He can set the sinner free tonight. That's the meaning, friends. From the very power of sin, he can set you free. Can I say this? It also means to be saved from the very punishment of sin. I don't know about you this morning, but when Mr. Harris was preaching about the end of the world, we never think of that, of course. We people living for today. How this world is going to be destroyed by fire. Whether we believe it or not, and I'm sure most people here don't believe it, a lot of people does not believe it. But I sat over in that corner and I thought of the world ending by fire. What a terrible day is coming to this world. And the fire of God falls upon this world and upon sin and upon sinners. And friends, this whole world will be burnt up and the wrath of God will fall upon sinners. What a terrible, terrible day is coming upon this world. You need to be saved. Where are you going to hide when that day comes? John the Baptist says, in Matthew 3, verse 7, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Oh, you can hide from it. The devil may fool you, unsaved person, tonight. He may say, "Oh, it's nonsense. The world will not end. God will never come. God will never punish people. He will never come in flaming fire." Oh, not at all. But I want to say here tonight, the wrath to come, there's such a thing as the wrath of God that's going to come upon this world. You need to be saved. Because there you are, my friends, in all your sin and all your filth. And if God comes, when Christ comes, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not saved. You have never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, dear friends, when the wrath of God falls upon this world, you deserve everything. Every stroke. Divine justice will come against you. You'll deserve everyone. Listen, you need to be saved from this. Paul can write the church of Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. How he was writing to this people. Here's a wonderful thing. We have been delivered from the wrath of God to come. You see, Christ had saved them. And he had saved them, my friends, from the very punishment of sin. He had rescued them. That's what it means, this title. It means that you will be saved. That you will be saved from the punishment for all your sins, and you deserve every bit of it. I came across a quotation of C.H. Spurgeon about this. And here's what he said. What is it to be saved? It means to be saved from the punishment of all your sins. Saved from going down into the pit. Saved from the blackness of darkness forever. Saved from the everlasting wrath of the Most High. Saved from the second death, whose terror is the hell of hell. Saved, 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 he says this man. You're saved from the wrath of God and from being cast down into the pit. Oh, the offense are many in this meeting. They can say, yes, I am saved. I have come to Christ. I am saved from the wrath of God to come. What of you? Are you saved? Has the Lord delivered you? Listen, your sin will take you down to hell. Down to hell forever and forever. You see, this meaning of this title, it means to be saved. And saved from the wrath of God that will surely come, that you deserve, and friends, that I deserved, but I'm glad I'm saved. And saved from the very presence of sin, because in Matthew 1 verse 21 it says it shall save you from your sins. The word from means away. He's come to take us away from sin. And so, dear friends, the Lord takes his people away and from their sins. He doesn't leave them in their sins. He sets them free, as I said. But more importantly, one day he will come and take us away from the very presence of sin. There's one thing grieves the hearts of every child of God in this world. And it's sin. When we fail God, we sin. It grieves us. We look around us and sin is betrayed before all of us, and it grieves us. But I'm glad there's coming a great day, coming a day for every child of God, when the Lord will come and he'll take us away. He'll take us away from the very presence of sin. Indeed, in Jude verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a day that is for every child of God. He's going to bring us away from this world and put us before the throne of glory. We're saved from the very presence of our sin. He bring us into the kingdom of heaven, and there's no sin, there's no defilement in heaven. See, Christ will save his people from their sins. He will cleanse them. He will save them from the wrath of God to come. He will take them away, my friends, from sin. You see, the very title of salvation. You need to be saved. And all friends, if you learn nothing more tonight, I hope you will. You need to be saved. You say, I need many other things in my life. That may be so. That may be so. I'm not saying you don't need money. You need money. You need this. You need that. That's fair enough. But the most important thing for anyone in this meeting, you need to be saved. You need to be saved from the wrath of God to come. You need to be saved, my friends, from being taken and cast down towards hell for all eternity. That's the greatest need that anyone in this meeting has tonight. And perhaps you know that. And you're not arguing against this truth tonight. You see, the very title of salvation is saved. You had to be saved. And then he tells us here about the terms for salvation. Because he tells us here, and you see he sets out the terms for salvation very clearly. He talks about the confession with the mouth and the belief in the heart. It is really a mouth and heart salvation. In verse 10, it's the other way around. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, it doesn't really matter, because they're both the same. What's in the heart will come out. If you have belief in the heart, then it's going to be confessed to come out. And if you confess it to come out, well, you can just reverse the whole thing around. It's in the heart. And the Apostle Paul here is setting out before us here the very terms for salvation. It is, my friends, a heart or a heart and mouth salvation tonight. You speak there, he talks about the believing. The believing in the heart. Verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. There's this belief in the heart. What is a person to believe to be saved? Well, he has to believe in the Lord Jesus. The person who's going to be saved must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He must believe certain things about Christ in order to be saved. Not just a historical belief, of course, but this heart. He's talking about the heart, not the head, my friends, or the mind, but he's speaking here about the heart. And you must believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. You must believe Jesus is Lord. That he is God who has come in the flesh. That he's no ordinary person. I know he's called Jesus, that shows his humanity, but no doubt we are to believe about his deity. And it tells us over there in the book of Romans and chapter 14. It says there in the book of Romans, chapter 14. And the verse 8, for while we live unto the Lord. And while we die unto the Lord. While we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And then in verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. And that particular passage shows us very clearly that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if I'm ever going to be saved, I must believe who Christ is. I must believe he's the Savior of the world. I must believe that he is Lord. You must believe in the deity of Christ. But you must also believe about the death of Christ. You see, if I believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, well, if you're going to believe, first of all, that God has raised him from the dead, you must believe, first of all, that he died. That's very simple. You must believe he died. Well, how about this? Why did he die? See, you must believe why he died. And I'm glad, even in this particular epistle here of Paul to the Romans, he tells us people, and he's writing to this church, and he leaves them, friends, in no doubt why Christ came into this world, and why he went to the cross, and why he shed his precious, precious blood. He died, and he tells us over in Romans chapter 5 that he died for the ungodly, in verse 6. In verse 8, it says, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this is this belief in the heart. If I'm ever going to be saved, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he came into this world. I believe he went to the cross. I believe he shed his blood. I believe he died for the ungodly. I believe he died for me. I believe he died for me. And I believe he hung on that cross. He took my sin upon his own body. And I believe he suffered in my place, bearing shame and scoffing root in my place. Condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a seal. That's the words of the hymn writer. Well, I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me and he shed his blood for me. That's what it means to believe, friends. If you believe Jesus has been risen from the dead, you must first believe that he died. And that he died for you. Tell me this. Do you believe Christ died for you? Do you believe it with all your heart? Say, well, I don't know. Or I think so. Or I hope so. Listen, friends. If you're going to be saved, do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe with all your heart? When he went to the cross and he suffered and he bled and died, that he loved you and he gave his life for you, that he shed his blood in order that you might be saved. Do you believe that? Believe with all your heart that Jesus loved me and died for me. You know, if you're ever going to be saved, you must believe that. And you must believe it, my friends, with all of your heart. You must believe his blood can cleanse you from all sin. 1 John 1 verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You must believe that he's been raised from the dead, as it says here in our text. Romans 1 verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. They must believe that Christ alone, that Christ can save me. Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you love me, Lord. I believe that you shed your blood. And Lord, I repent from my sin. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the world. And Lord, I come and I believe that you'll save me. And friends, these are the terms. These are the only terms that you'll be saved. With all your heart. With all your heart. You've heard these truths many times. I asked you, have you believed with all your heart that Jesus saves? We were saying, I believe Jesus saves. Tell me, do you? Do you believe with all your heart tonight? Tell me tonight, do you believe He can save you where you are? Do you believe He'll cleanse you? Do you believe He'll forgive you? Do you believe He'll take you to heaven? Do you believe it? You must believe this all your heart. I taught a Roman Catholic man the other day, and we're in point, a postman. You know, we were telling about the gospel. Of course, he's going to purgatory. He's doing this and doing that. And you know, I told him this simple message, that Jesus could save him. He said, too simple. Too simple. But I want to say, this is the message. This is the message of the Bible. Christ can save. With all of my heart I come. I believe that God has raised Him from the dead. I believe that He has died for me. I trust Him. That's it, friends. Mr. Barner wrote that hymn, upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death. I stake my whole eternity. That's it, isn't it? That's what it means. Everything Christ is, everything that He has done, I stake my whole eternity upon Him. I lay all on Christ. I lay my sin upon Christ. I lay my soul upon Christ. My salvation, everything is to do with Christ with all my heart. These are the terms of salvation. My friends, the only terms. I believe Jesus saves. Do you trust Him? If you come to Him, He can save you. A faith that's resting in Him. He talks about not only believing, but the confession. Confessing of the mouth. You can see here it's an honest confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's really an honest confession. I believe. I believe He died. And I believe He rose again for me. And listen, I believe He alone can save me. That's confession, isn't it? That's been honest. And a very humble confession as well. You see, I believe that Christ saves, and I believe I cannot save myself. That's what you're saying. I cannot make it to heaven myself. The law cannot save me. And no particular church can save me. Not even the free church can save me. I've been speaking to Roman Catholics, and they're trusting the church. They're trusting themselves. They're trusting their works. There are a lot of Protestant people the same. They're trusting something else rather than Christ. But oh dear friend, here's a humble confession. I cannot save myself, but I believe Christ can save me. You read this passage, these people are going about, as he says in verse 3, to establish their own righteousness. I had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were going about, they were building up their own. That wee postman I met the other day, he was building up his own things, everything, to do with himself, his own righteousness. And played the slightest bit of wind, and the whole thing was scattered along the ground. Oh, dear friends, here is a humble confession that Christ can save. Ah, yes, and Christ only can save. It is a mouth and heart salvation. It's not a foot and hands. It's not what you do with your hands to save you. It's not what you do with your feet to save you. It's what you do with your heart. And you give your heart to Christ and say, Lord, save me. I believe He saves. Oh, dear friends, here are the terms. It is an honest, a humble confession, a hearty confession with all the heart, you say. And it is a happy confession. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, friend, just confessing, just coming and turning from sin and trusting Christ, and you're saved in a moment. Oh, happy, happy day when you come to Christ. Here are the terms of salvation. Confession of the mouth and belief of the heart. And I want to say, that's the same message for everybody. You see that in the verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich, over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's no difference, no difference. This is why I had to be saved. And other people in this meeting, that's why they had to be saved, and it's the way you had to be saved. He even showed about, in verse 6, about people saying, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Do we have to do great works to get to heaven? Do we have to go to heaven and bring them down? Do we have to go into the depths and bring them up? No, he says, the word is nigh thee. It's even in your mouth. Oh, dear friends, these are the terms. There's only one plan. You see, you must confess and believe that Jesus saved. Not wonderful. You've no money to pay. You've no works to do. All the work is done. He just come all your sin, and he will save you. Lastly and quickly, it talks about the time of salvation. Because if thou believe in thy heart, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Present tense. You look at verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's in the present tense. The moment a person believes, friends, they're saved. We find that over in Luke chapter 18 about the publican going into the temple. He cried from the depths of his heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he's crying unto the Lord through the blood, through Christ. And Christ says he went down to his house justified. Saved, my friends, in a moment. The moment he believed was the moment he was saved. Most people here have heard the story of Pilgrim Progress and going up the mountain with the burden of sin upon his heart. And yet upon his back, and the moment he believed, the moment he trusted, the moment, my friends, he looked to Christ, there the burden went. Never to be remembered against him anymore. And I say to you tonight, if you really believe with all your heart tonight that Christ can save you, and you come to him, and you trust him, he will save you. He'll save you here tonight. You come into this meeting unsaved. You can go out saved. You come into this meeting on the road to a lost eternity. Friends, you can go out tonight on the road to heaven. Because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Just come the way you are. You've heard this before. Have you ever come? Why will you not come to Christ? Why will you not come and trust him? You see, we've been singing, to the uttermost he saves. To the uttermost he saves. Listen, do you believe he can save you? Do you believe he'll cleanse you? Do you believe he'll take away all your sin? Do you believe he'll take you to heaven? Then, friends, with all your heart, trust him. And he'll save you tonight. Where you are, if I can help you, speak to me. We can talk more about this matter. Even while we're bowed in prayer, just you cry with all your heart, with all your heart, Lord Jesus, forgive me and save me. And I'll tell you this, he'll save you. If we can have in any way, do speak to us. May God bless his word to all our hearts tonight. Let's all pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence. We pray you write the word upon the hearts of everyone. Remember those who's not saved. We're glad of the plan of salvation. Lord, this mouth and heart salvation. We can confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Oh, this certainly. Oh, the promise of the word of God, thou shalt be saved. And we pray for all unsaved tonight, thou would have mercy. And give them faith to believe and give them grace to repent from their sin. And Lord, let this be a special night in their life, the night to come to Christ. Do be with your dear people. Bless each one of us and keep us safe, Lord, throughout the week in all our duties. and all that we do for thee, bless it to thy great name. Be with us now. Take us our separate ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.